Shalom, shalom, everyone. One moment, and I'm going to get the host of the show on the line. Brother, are you there?
Absolutely. First of all, good afternoon to you, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. How are you, Prince Asiel? It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's great to hear yours as well. I've got an exciting show for us today. I've got some of the top experts in healthy eating, healthy lifestyle, and most of all, holistic medicine that's going to join me and be part of the discussion so that the Yehuda Nation and Better World will lay out a vision for a healthy society based on the principles of the living God, and that the Holy One of Israel continue to bless us and give us keys and wisdom and understanding for a better life.
Well, that's a good thing, because, you know, none of us are skinny over here, so, you know, we're not afforded that luxury today. So, you know, it would be good to hear some insight on health. That's always good.
Not only insight on health and insight on how to live better, because most of us really don't know. We picked up the food habits from our mothers, grandmothers, and from society in general, and we have no knowledge of what we're eating or what the ingredients are that go in the food that we are consuming. So I thought I would bring somebody that has a history in all of that. I have a pharmacognist joining us from Chicago, from the University of Illinois, and he will be the first African-American to be a PhD in food science. And I have joining us is the chief medical officer, executive director of Cook County Hospital, Dr. Terry Mason, who is not only a premier medical doctor, but also an administrator and has done much in Africa as well as traveled to Israel, so that he has firsthand. And then I have a holistic health specialist, Dr. Hapi, who will institute a new way to understand how to build up our breath and expand our life. So it's not just about food and diet. It's about how to get back on track in harmony with the universal principles of a better life.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me make the announcement for all of you all that he have invited, that Prince Asiel has invited to be a guest on the show. Please push one so that we can open up your mics. And then how do you want to do this? Do you want to introduce them, or how do you want to handle it today?
Yes, I do. I'm asking if Dr. Mason is under the hearing of my voice to push the number one and say hello to me, Doc.
Okay, I have an area code 31. Let me see if he's here. Okay, I don't have anyone to push one as a guest.
You see area code 312?
Yes, sir. He was here, and I think he's calling back in to push one.
Okay.
He hasn't called in as of yet, but we're still waiting.
Okay, let's see if Brian, are you on the line yet?
Okay. Is it Brian? Brian, if you're on the line, would you please push one so we can open up your mic? What about Prince Amiel and all of your regular hosts? Are you going to open up them as well? Okay, here we go. I think Brian's here. One moment here. Let me get his mic open. Brian, are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Prince, shalom, shalom.
This is Dr. Mason.
Great, Doc. Welcome to the Yehuda Nation blog radio, so that you can speak to the world and talk about food as medicine. I want to introduce Dr. Mason as a African-American medical doctor who was inspired by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to go to medical school as a young man, and was inspired that when he wrote Eat to Live, he went on and went to medical school and completed. And for 22 years, he was a urologist because he wanted to understand how to keep particularly black men healthy, for they were suffering an unusual amount of prostate cancer and enlargement. So after that, I'm going to have Doc share how we became close to the point that we are brothers and not only friends, but we are co-working on a project called Food is Medicine. Dr. Mason, say hello to Better World and to the Yehuda Nation audience.
Well, first of all, Prince, thank you for the opportunity to participate in this call and to your audience, and I'm grateful that God has seen it fit for us to have this time together in this forum. And what I want to do first is pull over so that I don't get myself in any trouble driving down the street here. But I want to, for the your listening audience, I just want to, just one little correction. I am the Chief Operating Officer for the Cook County Department of Public Health. I've held those other titles. My current title is the Chief Operating Officer for the Department of Public Health for Cook County. And Prince and I met some time ago, many, many years ago, over 10 years ago now with Faye Prince.
Yes.
And that time was an interesting time for me because I had been practicing urology over 20 years and doing a lot of work in prostate cancer treatment, especially in the population of black men that, and all men that I serve, predominantly black men, and was bothered by the notion that black men had more cancer of the prostate, but more cancer in general, died from it more heart disease, died from it more than anyone else. And Prince is right. The inspiration for my going to medical school was from the Nation of Islam, for the then Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted to build a medical school, build an Islamic medical center on what is the site of one of our parks now, because they would not sell the land to him. But nonetheless, I got through into medical school. And what was painfully clear that there was a real shortage of information and knowledge being taught about nutrition in medical school, particularly in the early 70s when I was there. And the one thing that I did learn, because I treated a lot of men not only for their prostate issues but for their erectile problems. And what we came to learn over time is that many of the men who had erection problems also had heart problems, and they were diabetic, and they had all these other problems. And so with a combined effort with a group of cardiologists and other urologists, black cardiologists and black urologists, it was clear that the risk factors for this were the same. And the risk factors for this destruction of the inside lining of the blood cell called the endothelial cell was the foods that we were eating. And so I met Prince, and he talked about what had happened in Dimona and that they were eating a totally vegan lifestyle, and a lot of these disease processes were not as prevalent. So I went to Dimona at his invitation and had the most glorious spiritual immersion that I've ever had, going to the Holy Land and as his guest and being hosted by him and the team he put together to go throughout the Holy Land, throughout what they call the Sea of Life, what is commonly known as the Dead Sea, all through Jerusalem and all through the opportunity to meet some of the original Israelites that were there, not to mention the ones that had just recently returned. But it was a wonderful experience, and it was clear that we were eating ourselves to death. And now it is very clear science that what we're eating, particularly these foods that are highly processed, the further we get away from their natural, organic state, the more we are to miss what the nutrient value may be, and not only stopping or never having some of these disease processes, or certainly not having them to the degree that we have, but also in those people who are suffering from diabetes and obesity and high blood pressure and some of these things, that eating this way actually begins to make that better. And the federal government actually proved that by looking at a study called DASH, the Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension, and noted that black people ended up with more decrease in their blood pressure from eating 8 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day over whites. So it was clear to me that what we were dealing with was a real dietary issue. And I'll stop in a moment, but I just wanted to say that along this line I became, actually, with Prince, we had a conversation about it on a plane ride to Washington, D.C., and was named Commissioner of Health in the City of Chicago in 2005 by the then Mayor Richard Daley. And we actually asked people after the season of gluttony, which begins on Thanksgiving Day and goes through New Year's Day, we asked people for 30 days to abstain from all animal protein, all animal meat, to give your body a chance to restart. And so that is a very short snippet of a much, much longer and far more involved situation, and I'll stop right there, Prince.
First of all, Doc, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule, and even you driving back to Chicago from some meetings that you had, and I imposed upon you because I thought the audience was worthy enough to get firsthand information from those who care about them, respect them, who have committed their life to a life of healthy lifestyle. Would you share with the audience the concept that you and I have begun to develop called food is medicine? And I have Brian that's calling in, who is a pharmacologist, will tell us much more about it. But I wanted you to explain the concept of how we will change the lifestyle and the health of our people and then ultimately the world by giving them a new direction. I call you the minister of new health for God's people.
Well, the original minister was God himself. And if we were, the concept of food as medicine is that if we ate bad food and it made us sick, we can eat good food that can make us well. It's real simple. And even though Hippocrates is given the credit for food is medicine, food is not only medicine. I mean, that's, and Brian can talk more about that, because almost every active ingredient that we have in most medicines that we take, from aspirin to chemotherapy to antibiotics, all come from plants. All come from plants, or most of it comes from plants, or synthesized from some active ingredient in plant. And Brian can talk more about that. But if we ate the food as we were supposed to eat, we would never need it for its medicinal purposes, because it would not, we wouldn't be bothered with a lot of these maladies that we are facing today. So food is medicine says we're eating foods that are very adulterated, very processed, very different from the natural form from which they are found in nature. And we certainly are not eating them in the way that we were intended to eat them. And when we eat a whole food plant-based diet, you will notice an improvement in your health. Some people so much so that certain diseases in certain people will begin to diminish or even disappear, particularly things like diabetes and your blood pressure may respond and going down. No matter what else you're suffering from, if you begin to eat a whole food plant-based diet, when I say whole food plant-based diet, I'm talking about really, really looking at eating this as natural as you possibly can. And there are other great people that are out there, like Dr. Alvenia Fulton, many years ago was advocating this. And recently, just very recently, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who was at the Cleveland Clinic, just published another 188 patients that have been on the whole food plant-based diet, and again has affirmed that their heart disease began to reverse in many of them. And so these things that are being manufactured as opposed to just being given to us are what's causing our problem. And people say, well, how can you get enough protein from plants? Well, the truth of the matter is, if you look at a horse, most animals that we eat for protein do not eat meat as protein for themselves. and they don't look as though they're suffering from any issues regarding improper muscle development. So it's a ploy of our current system, which, by the way, spends more money than any system on the planet for its people, $2.2 trillion. And even with that, 1 million Americans a year die from preventable diseases, or certainly diseases that have a large preventable component. And that is, heart disease kills a person a minute in America. Not makes them sick, kills a person a minute. And about 1,500 people die every day. I mean, 1,500 people die every day from cancer. And there's good evidence that at least a third of the cancers may have some dietary component as a part of how we got there. And certainly, we know cigarette smoking is definitely a cause of lung cancer, and also is implicated in bladder and in other cancers as well. So we know that these things, we know that the data is clear about what I've just mentioned to you. So the notion of food can be medicine, bad food has gotten us into this problem. Good, wholesome, whole food, plant-based diet, way of eating can get us out.
Doc, thank you so much, and I'm not going to tie you up on the road, but you can follow the conversation, and if you hear something that you need to straighten out, please, I'm not going to have you sitting on the side of the road waiting. So I thank you so much for the input, and I will be following up with you later today or tomorrow. If you get a chance to listen on your way, continuing your drive.
Well, you're very
I
welcome.
Wanted you to know this show is also hosted by the Yehuda Nation. Princess Janina is the founder and developer of the vision for the resurrected nation of Judah. And she and I have agreed to form a coalition and become one in terms of moving our people back to a spiritually conscious understanding of Israel as a source of both spiritual as well as historical basis for God's people to be reconciled. And you'll be hearing her as the conversation goes on, making comments. So thank you so much, Doc.
You're very welcome, Prince.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to ask, too, Brian, are you out there?
Someone has pushed one from area code 917. Do you want me to open up the line in case they have a question?
I do.
Yes, sir. Hold on one moment. All right, area code 917, your line is open. Go ahead, you're on the air.
I accidentally had pushed the line, and please forgive me.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. Sorry, okay. Okay, can you announce the other gentleman that you wanted to hear as well that you're expecting?
Yeah, I'm checking to see if Brian is on the line. Brian, are you out there? And if so, push one. And if not, Dr. Hoppe, are you out there? Maybe they haven't called in yet, so we can proceed on with the program, Sister Janina.
Okay. Anyone that has a question, a comment, or concern, or you'd like to ask a question, please feel free to push one. This is an opportunity for you to talk directly to Prince Asiel or any of his co-hosts or guests that he has on the show. We also have another area code 773 open. Is this Prince Amiel?
No, that may be Brian.
Okay, and Brian, are you there? Your mic is open. Maybe not. Okay, well, we'll just wait and see. So anyone out there that would like to make a comment or have a question, please feel free to push one. This is an opportunity to ask questions. I know Brother Adoniyah has his push. Brother Adoniyah, do you have a question? He might have his phone on mute. Let me go to the next caller. Area code 513, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, greetings, Kim. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you for sending
me. You on the line.
I would not have known that this show was on today, and I've been having some questions because I have a vegan-based diet, vegetables, some soy, fruits, rice, and that. But I feel like I've lost a lot of weight. The most I've ever weighed was 280, and I was just eating fish at the time. I had given up meat, oh, maybe 30, 40 years ago, but not intending to be a vegetarian. I just didn't like the taste of burnt animal in my mouth. But I continued to do dairy, which was cheese, homemade brand cherry cordial ice cream. Girl, I died for it, and other animal-based products. But it messed up and created a heavy arthritic problem in my bones, and it created a problem with my skin. And so as I've gotten that out of my diet, my bones are much better and my skin is getting better. But I, like I said, the most I've ever weighed was 280. Basically from 11th, 12th grade, I was hanging around 225. Now I'm down to 170, 165, and a heavy wind, if I didn't have 13 size shoes, would blow me away. So what I'm trying to find is something to give me bulk, to give me muscle, along with the exercise, along with the water, and along with the plant-based, grain-based diet. And I'm really trying to bring the tofu down because of the problem with the gas and other problems with soy-based products.
Excellent question, my brother. Excellent, excellent. I don't know if Dr. Mason is still on the line and he wants to respond to that, or if any of my other holistic practitioners on the line yet, Dr. Hapi or Prince El Ram, are you on the line?
Yes, if Prince El Ram is on the line, let me open up his mic. Prince El Ram, your mic is open.
Thank you. First of all, peace and blessings to everyone listening, and appreciate the opportunity to participate.
Now, you heard the question from the caller, and since you are a big man and you've been a vegetarian for over 30 years, well over 200 pounds, what advice would you give him to strengthen himself and get the energy back that he believes he has lost by getting rid of all of the bad things he said he would die for? They was about to kill him, too. He didn't know that he was getting rid of the things. So I'm just letting him know that he got out just in time because they was going to fulfill his wish about dying for it. No, just a little light levity about, but I keep telling everybody, we don't call it a diet because of the word die in it. And we know words have power. So what we're saying, Prince El Ram, give him some insight into what can be done to strengthen him and to get a new recipe, which we have produced books on vegan eating, how he can continue to be healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Well, the first thing that I would say is I certainly understand his dilemma. But I would remind him also that man does not live by bread alone. And by that I mean your attitude or your belief or your approach to food has as much to do with your outcome as the food itself. If you're going to approach it as if you are operating from a deficit, then a deficit is what you're going to receive because our thoughts, too, right, are products of this life process, okay? So they feed one another, they interchange, they balance one another, or they one will throw the other out of balance. And since we know that thought precedes substance, we have to begin there. So the first thing is that we have to find out at what level we're going to be satisfied. A lot of us are not going to be satisfied with anything that we find. If you believe something, or if you believe in something, or if you are searching for change, then you'll find a balance. Everything is about a balance. So that's what we're trying to establish.
Hold on 1 second. Let me give it to you.
So the approach to the diet has to be one where I'm looking for things that will help me be balanced in my body to balance itself and establish itself at the weight that it determines that it needs to be healthy. A lot of times in the West, we certainly are size orientated. We think bigger is better on every front. Okay, so if we see someone that's bigger, we automatically assume they're in better health or they're stronger. Or if they have more musculature, then they must be stronger and in better shape, et cetera, et cetera. All of these are misnomers. So when we go looking for answers, we have to accept the answers that we do find. Now, the problem with most food and food intake is that it's imbalanced. We have no idea about substances make up food, what foods combine well, what foods don't combine well, et cetera, et cetera. And so then we become more or less dependent on one type of food, maybe because we like it or maybe because we got some information about it that makes us want to lean in that direction. Well, that's going to cause an imbalance. I don't care how good it is. And soy being one of those. Soy has been overused and abused, and now everything, I mean, soy, it's hard to get away from soy now. Before, it was hard to find soy products. Now, soy products are everywhere and in everything, and we become overly dependent on that. And any imbalance will cause a problem. So there is a time to eat. There's an amount to eat. There's an amount to drink. All of these things we have to investigate. And unfortunately for us, our education, all those years we went to school, et cetera, does not prepare us for nutrition or the understanding of nutrition. And I'm even talking about doctors. They'll tell you that less than 20-something hours that they are in medical school is devoted to nutrition. So it's a subject that we have to put a lot of personal research and time into. Also, all foods don't agree with everybody, so it's a research mission. You have to try things and see if they agree with you. If they don't agree with you, then continue till you find things that do agree with you. And the things that do agree with you and make you feel better or reduce the gas or your energy, notice that your energy level picks up, et cetera, then those are the things that we have to lean to, or those are the things that we have to get a better understanding of to see how they can help us, because we have to accept the fact that a lot of what we do is because we like it or we develop a habit or we get addicted to it, all right, the taste of it. And that's why there's so many, certain substances that are used or overused, sugar and salt primarily being two of them, to jade our taste towards certain things. So we have to do research. We have to be willing to accept the things that we find, and then we have to be willing to change. Because if you're not willing to change, I don't care what you eat, that's not, like I said, if man does not live by bread alone, that alone is not going to do it for us. You have instances of people around the world who have, we say that some of the wealthiest people in the world, and they expire 45 years old, 49 years old. Now, we know these people have the best of anything that this world has to offer. They can afford the best food, the best everything, but they still expire. So it's not just that. First, we start with our thoughts, our intentions, and don't overlook what our historical reality has been, particularly in America, but in this world in the last, let's say just even the last 400 years, how that is affecting us to this day. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of understanding how all of these things create a symbiotic relationship, either good or bad. But I understand.
Thank you so much, Prince Elram. I've got Brother Brian on the phone. Brian pushed the number one. He's our pharmacognist, and I want him to share who he is and what his background is as he adds to what you've said from a technical scientific approach. Brian, are you there?
Hold on, let him. Is it air code 312?
Brian, is the area code you calling from 312?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, yes.
All right, then push that number one and you can go ahead and talk, and please introduce yourself.
Okay. All right. Yes, so I am Brian Wright, and I am a chemist, a scientist, and I specialize in medicinal chemistry, and not only medicinal chemistry, but the medicinal chemistry of natural products, which is called pharmacognosy. And what's so interesting about that is that, you know, most people don't know that the medicines that are developed by scientists, many of them come from natural sources, such as food sources, plants, bacteria, and fungus. So my research, what I like to do is focus on plants and compounds from plants that can lower the risk for disease, such as cardiovascular disease and cancer. And that's really where I'm focused, and I spend most of my time. It's a passion of mine, and I just love to get this information out to people so that they can take the power back into their own hands of, you know, how to heal themselves and have a healthy and productive life. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, I was so moved by what the brother had mentioned before about thoughts and intentions and how that plays a role in our health. I just, that's a wonderful thing. So that's my background, and I'm open to discussing whatever's the topic is.
Well, the topic is,
excuse me,
I had Dr. Mason on
Prince
first.
Alfio, can I ask
yes.
the caller, was your question answered?
Well, I did have a few theories. I want to know, because, see, I know that we're supposed to sleep at night and work during the day. I'm not blessed to be able to do that. I work third shift, and so I'm eating in the middle of the night when I should be resting. I want to know a kind of idea of how many times one should eat, and I know we're all different in individuals, but how many times we should eat, and then how, because I understand also that you're not supposed to combine fruits and vegetables together, but kind of get an idea of how to structure not just something specific, but a general idea of how many times and how we are to combine. As the second brother said, those things that are in the world come basically, like golden seal, it's a basis for all antibiotics, but everybody uses it and then throws the chemicals so it'll stay on the shelves forever and ever. So I don't want to get off the topic. A way of how many times we should eat, how we should combine what it is we eat. Because I have to take my multivitamin after I eat, I do drink water, but I know that if I wait an hour or do my water an hour before, I get less gastric agitation. And I have done study. But I need more information about, as I said, how many times an individual in general should eat, how we should combine our fruits, our vegetables, our grain. I'm now eating a field green salad with some brown rice, onions, ginger, parsley, and different stuff as we speak. And I know that's going to get me through the night. But this is only my first meal for today. And I'll be eating something at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Elram, you want to respond to that?
I do. The reality or the real world that we're in or that we have to operate out of, we certainly have to take that into consideration and not be intelligent about what we do and what we have to do. So whenever you have to eat. But even then, only eat when you're hungry. Now, what you said, what you just said in terms of what you're eating is fine, okay? But it because you have, you're on that schedule where, you know, it's like in reverse in terms of things that you have to do,
yes,
I would
sir.
Say to you to be mindful of the amount that you're eating. Okay, you may have to eat something to satisfy a hunger, but consider eating less of it at that time so the body has less work to do out of the cycle, out of the sun cycle, in terms of processing the food, because what you eat has to be processed in order to be beneficial. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So that would be a consideration. Also, I would suggest to you that now, with what we got, with the digital age and the ability, all of these different search engines, my suggestion would be to use YouTube and to use these search engines and then to search as you feel you require certain information. See, I could tell you to do this, that, and the other, but you might, oh, let me go read about brown rice. Oh, I want to read about, and that's the best way to accumulate the knowledge. You want to get the information so that when you do approach it, you receive it better, okay? So I would suggest that, and it's more information than we could ever consume out here now with these computers, even with your phone. So anything that you want to know in specific, that would be the best way to approach it. Now, the things that you're talking about and how you're talking about, you're already on a good road and a good path. Pay close attention to how everything affects you and start making your adjustments accordingly, all right? And expect results. Expect to feel better. Expect things to change, and they will, right? Because the body is going to follow the thought process, okay? So as you receive this information and you make these adjustments, I guarantee that things are going to change in the manner that you would like them to change.
Well, and it's a blessing you said that, because I have seen it. I now, it used to be you and I could be standing somewhere and there'd be $100 on the ground. I may as well forget about bending to pick up that $100. Now, that $100 is mine, and you got to catch me. So I see the changes, and I know the changes.
Yeah.
It's just wait. You know, it's like my sister this past holiday, Folly Day, actually, she said, I can see it in your face. You're just so thin. And I've never been this thin. And and also, I do feel a lack of strength. So I am doing some toning exercises. And again, you said, my stomach has shrunk so much that I do eat in small portions. It's like I can't just, I've never been a glutton. Just I do eat in small portions. I just want to get away from the soy, because that smell, man, it's like it shouldn't come out of a human being. You know, once
okay,
you
look,
eat,
let me give you some information. Let me give you some information real time right now. The 10 top sources, 10 top sources of vegetable protein, okay? The first one is spinach, which is 49% protein.
Every day.
The next one, cauliflower, which is 40% protein. Cucumbers. 24% protein. Tomatoes, 18% protein. Kale, 45% protein. Mushrooms, 38% protein. Green pepper, 22% protein. Broccoli, 45% protein. Parsley, 34% protein. And cabbage, which is 22% protein. Now, you got a variety to choose from in terms of protein sources, and I didn't say soy. So protein, that whole myth, is another thing to be examined and to be talked about. But you can choose, go through these foods and choose which ones agree with you, because everything don't agree with everybody. So find the best sources. Yes, sir.
I do seven well, cauliflower, we don't get along. I don't like the look of it. But
okay, well, there you go.
Potatoes and green peppers is the nightshade affects my arthritis and potatoes. So I don't I don't like what green – they don't have a taste. Tomatoes I like, but I have to reduce them. Another one you mentioned, but I'm starting to check into kale. I'm going to try and check into that one. But the cucumbers – the cabbage, that give me that gas thing, too. And
parsley, I mentioned parsley.
Yeah, I do parsley in my salads. I do cucumbers, parsley, most of the others you mentioned, but I have to be very careful with the nightshade vegetables because it starts swelling my joints, and then I know. I just experiment with your body, so I do some potatoes. I like yams better, but I do some potatoes. But potatoes, tomatoes, and something else. The green peppers. I don't even like green peppers. They don't have a taste to me. But anyway, I don't want to hold up all the time, and I do. I'd rather buy books. I'm not into the computer thing, but I buy books, and I do have various books on diet. And I do appreciate this, and I will cease talking and continue to listen.
Okay, please do.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Prince Amiel on the phone. I would also like to weigh in relative to the brother.
Go right ahead.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask the brother, what is his height and weight at this particular time?
6'1", 165, 170 wing
and width. 165. So you're almost at your mean weight, which would be like really like between 150, 160 some pounds. I thought you were talking about that you needed to gain weight, but you're actually needing to lose weight, correct?
Oh no, I can't lose no more.
Okay, that's the reason why I wanted to weigh in, because there's a reality of the weight for your particular structure. See,
mm-hmm.
the problem is that the greatest drug on the planet is tradition.
Well,
and what has happened to us, we wound up doing things because our parents did it, because our grandparents did it, you understand? Now, what's interesting is, you know, you lose some weight and you go home to your grandparents or your mothers and they'll say, well, you look like you lost too much weight. You need to put some weight on you. That's because we come from a culture where the idea is that you're supposed to be bigger than your body structure is supposed to support. And so when they look like, you know, they got a little pot belly or they got, you know, they may have got some muscles or whatever, and they sort of bulked up. And what you see with most men, especially in African American culture, they like to bulk up, and it's almost like we're swelled up. And that is because the kind of the way that we have been eating, the culture that we have been perpetuating, we just really think that it looks better when you have weight on you, more weight really than you need. And so the tradition has been that men, especially men, that they need to have more weight on them than they do. But the reason why I brought this up is because a lot of people don't understand. Your weight is supposed to be relative to your bone structure. So a lot of times when people have arthritis and joint pains and all that, it's simply because they're carrying too much weight for their bone structure, and that weighs on your cartilage, and all of that weighs your cartilage out, and then you got bone scraping bone. The next thing you know, the body is sending calcium to those places to try to stabilize them or whatever. And that causes what seems to be like an atrophy. But the other thing I want to say to you is that the thing about gaining weight, and with most of our people, they're eating bulk, but they're not necessarily mineralizing. And I think I want Prince L. Rom and Brian to weigh in on mineralization. Because we may be eating, but we may not be getting enough minerals to be able to stabilize ourselves, especially our muscular system or whatever. So I want to talk about mineralization because we found out that in farming practices, they've been robbing the soil of nutrients, such as magnesium, copper, zinc, all of those things, because the body is made from the elements in the soil. So the body needs the elements in the soil in order to sustain itself. So I want to talk about that a little bit, because we talk about eating and food is medicine, but you got to understand that food is comprised of minerals. So food and mineralization of food is important. So we have a lack of minerals in our soil, which creates a lack of minerals in the plants, which creates a lack of minerals in the in the human relative to consumption of those things. So I want to talk about this mineralization because some of us, like in gaining weight, there's a noticeable absence of magnesium in our environment. And but we don't really talk about these things. And magnesium is necessary for a lot of things, including building muscle and having energy. So some people may take a magnesium bicarbonate or magnesium calcium bicarbonate, which you can get at your store, and which helps process these minerals that we're lacking. It's supposed to help process those minerals into our system. So I really want us to talk about the mineralization because the food
We'll get to that now. See, what I want to introduce to the listening audience, I got two more of our health practitioner experts on the line with us. I've got Brian on the line. I've also got Mark Haygood on the line. And also I have Dr. Hapi. I want to start off with Mark, are you there? And I want to go to Dr. Hapi. Dr. Hapi, are you there? If
Prince,
you're listening,
RCL,
hit.
What is their area code for their phones?
One should, both area codes should be 773.
Okay, hold on one
I'll
moment,
I'll double
please.
Check.
Okay, I have all of the area codes that are 773 are open right now. We have area code 312, which is I know is Chicago, and all of those lines are open for you. But we don't have a 773 as of yet.
Okay. Let me just double check. You go ahead. On that mineralization, is Dr. Mason still able to be on the line?
Yes, sir. His mic is open.
Doc, I'd like you to weigh in on that arthritic question and as well as the mineralization of the body.
Well, I think you rightly pointed out that that many of the foodstuffs that we are getting, because of the way they are being commercially produced, that there is not the same amount of natural minerals that it would be extracted from the soil are present in the plant. And the minerals are very, very important, and you don't need them in large amounts. You need them in trace amounts, very small amounts, because they're so powerful you don't need a lot. But it is important. It is important that we do get those trace minerals, magnesium, molybdenum, zinc. There are any number of them. Magnesium is important. You have to be careful if you take too much magnesium because it's so powerful. If you take a little too much of it, you might end up with a little diarrhea problem. And that's because it's also used in that way as one to help the bowels move. We use citrated magnesium to help us in that way. And many of our laxative preparations that are not cinnabase, many of them are magnesium-based. So we need to just be careful about how we do that. And it's true that this is supposed to be the move around the certified organic movement. But and because there's a lot of things, it's not just to not use pesticides, it's also that you are growing your vegetables and your fruit and you're making the crops rotate in the appropriate way. I don't know if I can hear this.
Getting some feedback from somewhere, somebody. Brian, are you there, Brian?
Yep, I'm here.
But weigh in on this mineral issue that Prince Amiel brought up. Weigh in on that from a scientific view and the needs of the body.
Wow. I mean, you know, minerals are so important for a variety of things. You know, they can be used to make enzymes. They can be used to do a lot of different things. One thing that struck me a number of years ago, I read an article that talked about kids who had a higher intake of zinc in their diet showed improved scores on their testing. And so, you know, there was a connection with zinc and comprehension and retention of information. And there's always seems to be some type of information that comes out about, you know, getting your minerals to a balanced diet and your health. But not only is it with your physical health, it's also with your mental health. You know, I think that's something to remind ourselves about. And so I think, yeah, Dr. Mason hit it right on the head. I'm talking about the soil and depletion, and others mentioned the same thing. That's such a critical thing. I think that, you know, we really need to put as much energy as we put into some of the traditional things like the drugs and things like that. Like, if we put that much energy into developing drugs, we should put as much energy into maintaining the soil and the health of the soil, because that's where we're getting our primary form of medicine, or should be our primary form of medicine, from the soil, from the food. So,
well, one of the things we're going to do in the course of Better World program is that we're going to bring the agriculturalists in. But what I wanted you to do, Brian, is what are the practical foods that people can eat, just like you talked about zinc and the other trace minerals that the doc was talking about. What are some of those foods that bring those trace minerals to you that people can eat on a daily basis or when needed, so that they can make sure that their body is getting the nutrients as well as the minerals that it needs?
Yeah, one of my favorite things as it relates to minerals in particular are Brazil nuts. And so I usually make it a point to eat one Brazil nut a day, because they are just outrageously high in selenium in particular. I mean, several 100% actually, so several fold of what a person would, or what has been recommended by some of the traditional sources, but several fold of what you would need. So that's pretty powerful. I get my selenium from the Brazil nuts. I also take in a certain amount of hemp seed. The hemp has iron, but not only does it have iron and some other minerals, it also has essential fatty acids that I like to get from the hemp seed. A lot of times I eat chia seed for the same reason. There's a little calcium in there. And of course, I eat the leafy greens, because you can get a good amount of iron and calcium from the leafy greens. Some of the leafy
such
greens,
as what? Give us some leafy greens that you know that's got that source.
Yeah, the kale, the arugula, the spinach, things like that. This has come up a lot in scientific circles. Some of these plants have a lot of a natural pesticide called oxalic acid in it, and that can kind of bind some of the minerals. But I'm also thinking that more research needs to be done in this area, because let's say if a person adds a little bit of an acid, a natural acid to their food, like lemon juice or vinegar, like people often do, because that helps, you know, kind of break down the plant material. I think that lowering the pH could actually free up those metals for better absorption, because, you know, as has been mentioned, it's not just about the food itself. It's about preparing the food in such a way that the minerals can actually be absorbed. So I think more research needs to be done in that area. If we eat those leafy greens, like the but spinach in particular is one that has been noted to have a lot of oxalic acid. So I would encourage people to
and
take
what
it
I
want to
do, I gave this information out. I want to go to the line. I want Sister Princess Jemina to go to the line and open the line for questions. Got a lot of people with questions out there.
All right.
Yes, sir. One moment, please. And I'd like to make an announcement. We have a lot of people on this line. A lot of people have pushed one. So we're asking that you please limit your questions to maybe a minute, so that we can get to everyone, because we have about 10 people that have pushed one. So I'm going to go straight down the line, and then we'll start with area code 708. 708, you're on the air. Go ahead. A lot of people have their phones on mute, so we'll give them a minute. I'm going to keep going down the line, and then we'll open you back up again, area code 708. Area code 215, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My question is for Brian Wright. Forgive me if I'm not saying your title before your name.
No, it's right. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to know, what's your position on raw foods? I know that there's a big movement now on people eating raw foods to get all the nutrients that we need from foods such as uncooked. And I also wanted to ask you about the expiration date on foods or processed foods or foods in cans or jars. My mother said there was a time when there was no expiration date. So is the expiration date a date just to get you to throw it away to buy more food, or is there some validity to that expiration date? So it's a twofold question, one on raw food and another on expiration dates. Thank you.
Okay. Brian, go ahead. You answer the first one. I got Mark calling in. I hope he's on the line now, Mark Haygood. And he'll answer the one about expiration dates and food dates. Go right ahead, Brian.
Okay, absolutely. So the first one about raw foods, you know, that's interesting. I get asked to speak at different raw food events a lot. I think that's a very good movement in terms of getting people to eat, you know, not so much raw food, but real food. I mean, let's get away from some of these things that simply aren't food and just getting back to real food. And I think that it is good to incorporate more of these foods in their raw form, you know, but I think one of the challenges that I see in the raw food movement is that they're not getting a good variety of foods in some cases, and they're not getting calories in particular from a variety of sources, because there's only so many foods that you can eat raw, and then they're not sprouting some of the things that they should be sprouting and consuming those in the sprouted form. So those are one of the challenges that I see in the raw food movement. But in total,
one of the things we want to add to that is that we're going to give out a number today for Soul Veg, who has we call it live food, so that it's comfortable for people to know that they're eating food that has the life still in it. But we'll give out an email address where you can send those questions on how to develop the information on how to prepare it, as well as what kind of variety we have. So thank you, Brian, on that. Anything about the expiration date?
It's funny. Yeah, this comes up from my college days. I think it depends on the food, because when I was in college, I worked at a co-op, and we used to discount things after the expiration date. And I tried that with some orange juice one time, and it really didn't end up good. So I think some things you really do have to honor the expiration date, but you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But clearly, it's not all about the expiration date, because there was a guy who just developed a business around selling foods that have gone past the expiration date, so it can be done.
But with you being a scientist, you got a pretty good idea of how long things should last with its potency in it. So I would suggest that you put together a list of things, foods, and things that you know that people need. And if they come in jars and cans, you'd need to give an idea of how long you believe from the chemical basis that they last and are nutritional, still of nutritional value.
Absolutely.
Let me see if Mark has joined us yet. Mark, are you out there? He's not there yet. So go right ahead, Sister Eileen.
All right, we're going to move on down to area code 708. Area code 708-903. You're on the air.
It's right there.
Hello, you're on the air. Okay, we'll mute them back again. Now we're going to go to area code 513-652. You're on the air. Hello, are you there? Area code 513-652. You're on the air. I think these people have their phones on mute, probably have been waiting for a while. So I'm going to move up the list, and then I will come back to your phone numbers.
Do you see an area code 708?
Yes, sir. I see 708-445. Let me open that up, and then there's another one, the 708-903.
That's the one I want you to open up first.
708-903. Okay, 708-903, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, this is Mark. Hey, good.
Okay, Mark, this is Prince. I want you to first give a brief layout of what you do from a natural health point of view, And then I want you to talk about a couple of things that you think are critical when people are changing their diet or they need to detox and clean out. Go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. My name is Mark Haygood. I'm affectionately known as the Herb Doc, and basically my expertise is plants, anything dealing with plants, wild plants, as well as detoxification of the body as far as getting rid of, you know, a lot of the old waste from a lot of the toxic foods and things like that that's in people's system because of all the processed foods. Now, I heard earlier we were talking a lot about the mineralization and also the expiration date, and I just want to add that the whole thing about the expiration date, when you start doing fresh foods, if you're doing things such as if you're making your own almond milk or if you're doing fresh spinach, when you go and you get it and it's wilted or it turns yellow, or if you get a tomato and you cut it and it's soft and it has a smell, that's the expiration date. And I think that most of us have gotten away from a lot of the fresh foods. So we've gotten so used to packaged foods and processed foods that's when the expiration dates becomes applicable when you're dealing with processed foods. So when you're dealing with things in a package or in a can, that's when you have to start looking at expiration dates. As opposed to just like if you buy almond milk from the store, that usually has an expiration date, but it usually lasts about 2 weeks. As opposed to making your fresh almond milk, when you make your own, get your almonds, you soak them overnight, and you blend them and you strain them, that probably only lasts 3 days. So obviously, in the store almond milk, they're putting things in there, some type of preservatives that make it last a lot longer, that has a longer shelf life, which increases profits, but basically decreases our life because it's not adding to our body, it's actually taking away, you know. And I think that that's really important. I think that we've gotten so used to not doing fresh. Because if I make my own almond milk, it only lasts 3 days. First of all, I got to make it. I got to take the time to make it. Second of all, I got to have the knowledge on how to do it. Third thing is I only got 3 or 4 days at the max, whereas if I go to the store, I don't have to know nothing. I go buy it, and it'll last, you know, it may last 10 days in the refrigerator, almond milk, you know. And so based on our needed now and our quick and, you know, our lifestyles, we tend to go towards the processed stuff. And then in the long term, that's when disease starts to set in because everything we're doing is processed in the long term and we're doing it for shelf life, not, you know, we're not doing it based on nutritional needs.
Perfect. Now tell us about how do we go about cleaning out to prepare for what Dr. Mason and I do every year called the Healthy Restart. The people that are listening who want to get to a healthy way of life, what do they need to do first to prepare for a new, what I call live it rather than diet?
The first thing is I think as Dr. Mason's premise, food is medicine. I think we need to let our food be our medicine. So just like Brian said earlier, we need to start doing a lot more greens. We need to do a lot. We need to basically inundate ourselves with greens. Melons this time of year are great. And I definitely think that we need to – wild foods was not in the subject. So we're talking a lot about organic and things from the soil, but a lot of the open pollinated, a lot of the original like we talked about kale, but there's one called Lacinato kale. There are a lot of the older grains, that are a lot more nutritious, have a lot more chlorophyll. And then we can do a lot of the wild foods, the old, like my favorite plant, the dandelion. I mean, dandelion, everybody knows what a dandelion is, and dandelion has selenium, it has magnesium, it has zinc. It's loaded with a lot of those minerals, and it also has a lot of vitamins. It has enzymes. You know, it has natural potassium. You could do things such as nettle. So we need to learn how to do a lot of these wild foods. And then
well,
the
that's why
thing,
we got you on the line. How do you recommend that we learn how to do that? Where do we go to find out how to do that and how to deal with dandelion and nettle and all those things that you name? What do the audience need to do to get that information? Do they send an email to you and you send something back to them? Do you direct them to some books or pamphlets?
Yes. Actually, a lot of that. Well, I actually do wildcrafting tours in the summertime where we go out and we do a lot of that. And then also we have classes. So basically they can send me a email. My email address is info@ancestralmedicinals.com. And Ancestral is ancestralmedicinals.com. So they can send me email, and I'll let them know when our classes are, and when we have the wild tours where we go out in the wild and we do basically the wild edibles is what I call them. You know, the nettles, the purslanes, the lamb's quarters, the chickweeds, a lot of the things that grow in our neighborhoods, whether you're in Chicago, whether you're in the burbs, or whether you're in the forest reserve, those things grow wild. And we need to learn how to identify some of these things, and we can start adding these because it's free. All you need is the knowledge of knowing what the plant looks like and how to harvest it. And you can start, you can juice them. You can start including these type of things in your diet to increase your vitamin and mineral intake times 10. Like, for instance, dandelion has 10 times more minerals than spinach, 10 times more. So as great as spinach is, dandelion is 10 times better. So
what I'd like you to do then, for this listening audience from now on, I'd like you to prepare a list of things that you know we need to do, and then we'll read them every week. We'll have a healthy portion of my program, Better World, where we give a 5 or 10 minute update every week on how to do it. Because what I want to do, those of us who are city dwellers, and this program goes across the world and the country, so it's not a local program, even though I'm in Chicago, but our listeners are all over America and the world. So let's think worldwide and what this worldwide audience needs to do. That's why they call it the WWW, World Wide Web. We're on it, and we're part of a better world, building it with the Yehuda Nation. Please know that this is a coalition of conscious men and women who are committed for a better life, for not just African Americans or Hebrew Israelites, but for all God's creation and people. We're back to serving the Creator. Now, Dr. IP, are you out there?
Let me check and make sure Prince Asio that he's on the line. We need another area code. 312, okay. I imagine. One moment, please, and let me check and see if he's called back in. I don't see another number coming in, but we do have an area code 312. But I have a question for you before if that's okay. Is that all right?
Hold on. We got his number is 312-388. Do you see that one?
Hold on. Let me check and make sure and see if he's on here because I didn't see it. Just one moment, please, and I'll check and see. 312-388. No, he's not on here.
Okay.
Not yet.
Go right ahead to your question.
Yes, sir. The gentleman that was just talking a few minutes ago, I didn't hear your email address clearly. So is it possible, can we make an announcement and have the people to email the Yehuda Project, and then we can send your email out, or because it sounded really
Absolutely. Funny.
It was really difficult for me to hear. And then my second question is...
I'm going to say yes to that, so I'm going to have him send it to you.
Okay, great, great. Well, those that are listening that want his email address, please email the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and we will make sure that we get that information out to you. And then the other question I have is for those of us who want to detox and really clean our system out, what is one of the best methods to be able to do that?
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. And I actually have a detox program. Basically, it's about 20 years old, and it's a full-body detox. It don't just clean your colon, but it cleans all of the other elimination organs, such as your liver, your kidneys, your blood, your lungs. Lungs is often overlooked as far as detoxification goes. But they could contact me if they wanted more information, but it's all plant-based. I use the clay, bentonite, and then I also have a colon sweep, and the colon sweep does just what its name implies. It comes with the energy nutrition, which is the multivitamin, and it has the detox capsules. Anybody who wants more information, they can email you or they can call me direct at 708-903-4310.
Okay, now that was clear. 708-903-4310?
Correct.
Okay, I got it. All right, well, that's all the questions that I have. Prince Asio, let me see if the doctor has called back in again. One moment, please. Not as of yet, but we
no
still
problem.
Have people that have one. Is it okay for me to open up the line?
Open up the line for more questions. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Area code 513-652. Go ahead. You're on the air. Well, we'll move on down the line. Okay. Area code 708-445. Go ahead. You're on the air. We'll give them a moment to take their phone off of mute. Area code 708-445 is the first three extensions of your number. You're on the air. Let me move on to the next caller. All right, area code 917-345. You're on the air.
James, first and foremost, I'd like to give honor to the Holy One of Israel, thanking him for the divine wisdom that is being brought forth this day. And even thinking, even Prince Osiel, for the contributions he has made within the nation of Israel. My question to the family is in regard to the matter of liquids. I know that we spoke about foods, but I want to know in relationship to water, the importance of how much water we drink, when we drink water, during the course of the day. From what I understand, it's very important to drink water at the beginning of your uprising from your sleep, and also the type of water that you should drink. From what I understand, alkaline water is very beneficial to the body. Just wanted to get the nutritionist concepts of understanding in regard to those areas, along with the other information that they shared. How important food is, along with seeing what their perspective is on our water intake or our liquid intake.
I'm calling for you. What's happening? Yes, sir.
What did you say, Prince Asia? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Are you still connected?
I believe he's on another line. He's speaking to someone else on another phone.
I don't know
if do we want to start. I guess either of us could start addressing that question, or should we wait?
Well, just wait 1 second. First of all, I want to thank that brother for that question, and I want to have that question answered by Dr. Hafi and also Mark on the water question. So that 708 number is Dr. Hafi, Princess Janina. Did you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir, I heard. 718, okay. Yes, sir. All of the 718s have been, okay, I'm opening up.
708, that's him, just speak up.
Yes.
Go ahead, speak up, Dr. Hoppy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, there was a question about the water, the alkaline water, and what we understand now with the water is that based on the pH of the body, the alkaline water has an ability, because of the way that that water has been processed, it has an ability to enter the cells much more thorough. So it therefore has the ability to detox the acid out of the body from the acidic foods that we eat. The effects of that, with that water entering the cells much more efficiently, it makes the colon more wetter. By making the colon more wetter, it helps in elimination. It also helps in freeing up the body from free radicals. It helps to neutralize the body of free radicals. So when we look at something as simple as acid reflux, you know, they tend to offer or recommend a lot of medication for acid reflux. But it's an overaccumulation of acid of your digestive system not breaking and eliminating that acid out. Just by drinking the alkaline water, it helps to remove the acid, therefore balancing your pH better and balancing your body's ability to metabolize the free radicals and get them out of your body. And those people who have acid reflux, they find that the acid reflux can be alleviated without the medication just by drinking this type of water. Now, the research on that type of water has come all the way from 1945 after the Japanese were bombed with the atomic bomb, and they had radiation in their country from the bombs, and they had to neutralize that radiation. They were using the alkaline water to neutralize their people, to neutralize their health, and to bring their health back up to a healthier state. The Japanese are now the number one healthiest people because they incorporated this alkalinity in their intake, which we are now just catching up with in the last few years. I have been exposed to this over the last 12 years, and I've seen people who drink the alkaline water, how it helps to decrease inflammation, which is an overaccumulation of acid also. So just to make it simple as possible, as you move through drinking different types of water, the alkaline water tends to be the best. It tends to help remove the body of the acid and neutralize the free radicals in the body. And you can see it if you do a live blood cell analysis. You can see the effect of this water on your blood cells.
I'd like for you now to properly introduce yourself to the worldwide audience that's listening to you. This is a coalition of the Yehuda Nation and Better World working together, and we are one as we continue to grow and educate our people for a better life and a better world.
Can you also mention the time cycle in which water should be drank for the best?
What time of the day in the course of the 24 hour should people have water intake, and how much at each intake?
Well, if they're dealing with the cosmic cycle and they're waking up, say, at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, they should consume water first thing in the morning. They should also consume water when they go to sleep at night. When we look at people with high blood pressure and all these types of cardio problem, there tend to be a problem with dehydration. Dehydration tends to be a major problem. And when we become dehydrated, the body tends to hold more acid, circulation tends to slow down more. And at nighttime, we tend to have a problem with the cardiovascular system or the heart regulating at a healthier state because of a lack of hydration. So those two times are paramount. We should also drink half an hour to an hour after we eat. So if we drink at least three times a day and we drink half our body weight, unless we have problems with our kidneys where we're on dialysis and what have you and we can't drink too much water. And even with that, if we're on dialysis, we definitely should be drinking the alkaline water, which is a higher frequency of water, which means if we're drinking less, we really need the best water to help us digest the food and eliminate the toxins out of the body. So those three times we need to be drinking, but also it also deals with the dehydration in the body. If we are out and it's hot in the summer and we tend to be sweating or what have you, we need to consume the water to rehydrate from the sweat that we're, the water that we're losing. And so we need to take that into effect also just when we are thirsty. We need to be drinking water when we are thirsty. But the main thing is getting half our body weight of water unless we have kidney problems and are on dialysis. So my background is that I'm a holistic doctor. I have trained to be a naturopath, a chiropractor. Ever since I was 20 years old, I've been trained by the Indian Swamis to be a grandmaster in the yogic science of regeneration. I'm an acupuncturist. And so within these different systems and a physiologist, and so within these different systems, I've been able to incorporate a system that I developed that we have been now using it on athletes for a series of years to improve the performance of athletes, but also we've been using it for elderly people to start improving their physiology also. We did a program a year and a half ago over at the Kroc Center in Chicago on 119th and Racine, and we started restoring our elders who were in their 80 years old, who were on canes, who were very weak, very feeble, and we started strengthening them through internalizing the redevelopment of the nervous system, saying that as our bodies decline in time, all of our systems start to break down, but the nervous system is like the electrical system of the body, and that system has to be restored just like our respiratory, our cardio, our skeletal muscle, all our systems having to be restored. So we developed a system to help start restoring our bodies, and we have some 80-year-olds who now have the strength of 50-year-old and 45-years-old, and now they move without canes and their bodies are much more vital. But they embrace the concept of dealing with this alkaline water along with a more nutritional diet that comes from more of a holistic organic effect, dealing with coming back into the garden, getting the greens, and getting the natural nutrients that come from the plant-based diet that we tend to lack when we eat processed foods and we eat very acidic foods.
Perfect, Doc. Now that we've had a cross-section of the technical aspect, scientific aspect of health in a better world that we're building, the Yehuda Nation, as well as the Better World Coalition, we are now saying to the listening audience to begin to pass this good news. This good news is that there are men and women whom God has raised at this point in history that is taking charge of the lives of God's people. So this program that we are doing jointly with the Yehuda Nation is to give you an expansive view of the work that we've done for the last 46 years across the world on behalf of righteous men and women. And we have connected all of the people in every aspect of life, so we will be bringing you experts as well as practitioners of the various things we'll do. Back to you, Princess Jamina.
All right, I'm going to move on down. And, again, we have a lot of people on the line. And if you have a question or a comment or a concern, please feel free to push 1. And we're going to go back to area code 513-652. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is gluten. Is there any value in wheat gluten?
I'd like for Dr. Hapi to deal with that. Dr. Hapi.
Okay. Now, the body utilizes some gluten. The question is the amount that you take in. You must be moderate in gluten because research has been shown that gluten can bind the colon, which means it can prevent your intake of nutrients and it could slow down the elimination of your colon. And so when we look at this issue with obesity, we know that people are consuming too much gluten. There's a book called Wheat Belly. This book is by a doctor. If you Google Wheat Belly, this book talks about over 40 years ago, genetic modified food industry came out with a product that started hybriding wheat. It created a new type of wheat over 40 years ago. And this particular wheat generated 10 times the gluten that the wheat that we used to eat over 40 years ago generated. And so with more than 10 times the gluten, when you're eating wheat, they might tell you in the last 10 years, move from white flour to wheat flour, where if you're eating wheat products and the wheat products have this new type of hybrid wheat, when then you're eating more gluten than what you normally would be eating, and if you're gaining the weight, we find that if you just decrease that amount of wheat and get back to a wholesome wheat or organic wheat, your body could lose weight. And so we say that you have to be very careful of the gluten because if you're eating the regular American diet that has a certain amount of wheat, then you could be consuming more of the gluten than you think you're consuming. So in that vein, you have to be able to look at where were we at 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we didn't have the obesity problem because they had not brought this new wheat on the market. And it's only been in the last 40 years that it has happened, and that's when the explosion of obesity occurred.
Thank you. I'd like to have, if Dr. Mason is still on the line, Doc, I want you to deal with the problem of the food industry and the challenges that healthy lifestyle will make because we're in competition, but we got to be intelligent on how we're going to have people deal with these issues. Doc, are you there? Maybe Doc had to drop out. I know he was on the road. Let me get back to Mark. Mark, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
What I want you to deal with, follow-up question about the elimination. What is the effects
of gluten on the elimination system? What impact have you found that it has on the colon? Too much
well, just
gluten.
Just like Dr. Huffy said, I agree wholeheartedly. The type of wheat that we have now, because it's grown commercially. I'll give you a quick story. A friend of mine who does colonics, he told me that he knew of a couple of vegetarians that were getting regular colonics, and they were doing wheat gluten in excess. So they did it pretty much daily, every day or every other day. And he said basically once he ran the thing up in their colon, like you're getting a colonic, he said that their colon was just as bad, actually a little bit worse than people that ate meat. So basically the gluten part, the binding part of the wheat, it got in their colon and it binded and was not able to be removed. So obviously elimination is a major issue because if you notice that a lot of times when you start eating a lot of wheat gluten, your bowel movements will slow down, or even if they don't slow down, you'll notice that they start to have a smell. So anytime you notice the consistency or the smell of your bowel movement starts to change, especially when you're doing gluten, you know to slow down. But I think that the whole gluten-free movement, though, because although it has some truth in there, but it's not 100% true. So a lot of times we start doing the gluten-free stuff, and we look at that, and then we get into another trick because then, in order, once they eliminate the gluten and they add other things such as white flour or some other processed things, and they get you thinking that you're doing healthier, and you're actually doing yourself a disservice by doing a lot of the gluten-free products. Because I know people that do exclude, they'll go anywhere, and if they see gluten-free, they'll just have had it, and they won't even necessarily look at the ingredients. So I think that Dr. R.P. made a very valid point of that. If you go back, even in some other countries such as Europe, if you go to Europe, even today, Europe, they don't have the GMO wheat, and their wheat has a lot less gluten. So you don't necessarily, people that have allergies and the a lot of the sensitivities, the wheat gluten that people have here, the celiac disease and such as things such as that, if you go over to Europe, you can have celiac disease here and go over to Europe and eat their wheat, and you don't have the same reaction because their wheat is not grown and they don't have the commercialization of wheat as they do over here in the United States.
And I'm glad you brought up the agriculture. What I want to get back to Ram on, because we're going to have some major holistic agriculturalists come on the program about home gardening and talk about area gardening so that we'll get used to developing. Prince El Ram, would you speak to that question?
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that at one point in our history here, agriculture was a major part of our everyday existence. We were either involved directly or indirectly with the soil, the growing and processing of foods. When I say processing, I mean growing of the foods and then from there to the plate. That's what's the process. It didn't go to a plant. It didn't go in a package. It didn't do all of those things. We understood the cycles of life. See, we're part of an entire life cycle, this planet and in this on this universe and in this universe. Okay, so everything is dependent on every other living thing for optimal. So there, again, we're back to establishing a balance.
With one the of the things of food, I'm getting is a lot of feedback. So I think a lot of times you have your speaker phones on when you answer the phone or when you're talking, and it's creating feedback for us on the radio and the listeners. Be very conscious to take your phone off speaker while you're talking or while you're listening so that it doesn't go over the air. We're getting close to the end of the program, and I want to really thank our host. I want to turn it back over to her and let her guide the show so that the people who've called in are on the line and get their questions in.
All right, no problem. Thank you. Area code 732, you're on the air. Your line is open, 732-925. Area code 732-925, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, yes. My name is Yahoo Sadiq. I'm from New Jersey. I wanted to ask a question in reference to diabetes, and what are your suggestions on how to keep yourself off the needles and off the medicines that they give you, you know, from the doctor's office? Because I'm 30 years old, and I was diagnosed with diabetes. But if you look at me, you wouldn't think I was diagnosed with diabetes. I'm athletic, I stay in shape, and I work out. However, right now, currently, I'm a non-dairy vegan. I mean, on the borderline, I'm not going to say I'm a strict vegan or anything like that. I do eat fish. I do my best to stay away from all dairy products. But I just can't seem to get off the needles. You know,
you
just can't, my diet.
You can't seem to get off the what? I didn't hear you.
I just can't seem to get off the needles without using any other supplements. Like, I want to just do it through my diet and exercise. I want
to
know.
You've got a natural doctor down in Texas that Dr. Mason is working with, that he can eliminate the degenerative diseases in 28 days and put you on a program without the needle, as well as all of the other things that. One of the things you got to become is trust yourself, trust those who have done the investigation and got a proven track record. That's why Dr. Mason and Mark and all of those on the line committed to changing the health paradigm of our people, particularly black men. What got me involved in this was that more than 10, 15 years ago, I realized that black men were leading in all of the top 10 cancers. I realized that once we found that we were all diet-related illnesses relating to all of these cancers. And so that's why we opened up the sole vegetarian vegan food chain across the country. And we're getting ready to open up what we call food is medicine food chains, as well as sole to go, meaning you can go get salads, juices, and all of these live products, so that your health, as well as relates to food as medicine, will be easily accessible. And I'm also putting a call out to those in various parts of the country that want to get these franchises and work with us and build on this 40-plus year credibility that we have. Don't hesitate. We got Prince Amiel and Minister Eliyanai in Atlanta. This is part of the team that will help generate the resources to build the industry that will make us healthier than ever. Dr. Mason is the overseer of Food as Medicine, as Cook County is the second largest county in the U.S., second only to Orange County. So we are serious about changing the health of our people. And so you can begin to feel comfortable to send information to the Yehuda Nation, and they will get it to us, so that we can begin to process and contact all of the people that go through it.
Okay. Well, I'm out here in Atlanta. Do you know anybody that I can see that could assist me?
You're in Atlanta?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, if you send the email to the Yehuda Nation, they will get it to us, and tomorrow we'll have our Atlanta representative call you and set up a meeting face-to-face with you. Because we're getting ready to open up a new restaurant in Atlanta within the next 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to distribute healthy food products to the health food stores in Atlanta.
Okay.
All right, my brother.
All right, thank you. Where do I send, how do I exchange my information?
Give him the information, Princess Janina.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is the Yehuda Project, and Yehuda is spelled Yehudah, and then Project, Project, @gmail.com. The Yehuda Project @gmail.com.
You have my phone number, right?
Please say that again.
You have my phone number, right?
We hear you. Yeah, send us your email address, your phone number, and everything, and we will pass it over to Prince Asiel and his organization.
You can't take it to me right now on my phone?
No, we don't want to do that over the air, but if you email it to us or I tell you what, I have your phone number now. I see it here, and we'll give you a call so that we can get the information from you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
What's your name?
Thank you.
My name is Yahoo Sadiq.
Okay, Yahoo Sadiq. Yeah. Got you.
All right, so we'll call you as soon as the show is over.
Okay, and when is the show over?
The show will be ending at 8:30. So we'll be ending everything at 8:30, and we'll give you a call.
It's about 20 minutes away.
20 minutes away, yes, sir. Okay, I think that is all of the callers for, let me check the and see if we have anyone else who has pushed one that may have a question that didn't get a chance to talk. I think that is it for the questions, except those that are on the chat line. We have quite a few people that are on the chat line as well. If you have a question or you want to ask a question, please, you can type it in the chat line, and I will ask Prince Asiel the question for you. We will be ending in about 20 minutes, so if you'd like to ask a live question, please call in. So you all feel that alkaline water is the best water to drink because it's very expensive. Alkaline water is extremely expensive, but it is good.
Well, if you have a water machine, it's inexpensive. You have to look at it as an investment. You buy the water machine, and then you project that over the period of time that you have the machine. And the machine, the warranty is for 5 years. The machine lasts about 15 years. So when you project that over time, it's less than 35 cents a gallon.
So you suggest purchasing a water machine in your house.
It's an investment. You want to invest in your health just like you buy a car or just like you buy a juicer machine. So you look at it as an investment, you buy it, and now it becomes an intricate part of your chemistry of your kitchen to keep you well. Just like you buy a juicerator machine, a wheatgrass machine to make wheatgrass juice, you invest in that and you project it over how long the machine is going to last and what do they cost per day for you to get that water.
Okay.
That's the easiest way. In Japan, in the residential area, the majority of the people have the machines. And then the water is also accessible in the restaurants. It's accessible in the hospitals. We have just now started filtering into the utilization of that water, and so it's really at a secondary level. It hasn't really penetrated into our society that much yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I understand. Now let me ask this question real quick, if you don't mind, Prince Asiel, because we have a lot of people that have come out of Christianity, out of the church, myself and a few others. And, you know, in church they eat. They eat, and then they eat, and then they eat some more, and then they eat. What would be the beginning process for them to start this whole regimen? Would you suggest a detox and then gradually go into the fruits and the vegetables? And then do you recommend the vegetables and fruits that are not chemically sprayed? Is there a certain number that you should look for in the grocery stores?
The first thing I'd recommend, we got to become a wise people again. We got to know that we in crises. If Dr. Mason talked about 1,500 people die every day from cancer and 1,500 people die every day from heart attacks, and all of that is food related. We've got testimonies that people who have begun to change their diet and their lifestyle. What I'm recommending that people find out, what is the best diet for this human body? All of us loved chicken at one time, or fish,
or whatever other animals that we were eating. But once we found out that you had a Rolls Royce, the first thing that you would do is find out what the operator's manual said, what kind of oil to put in it, what kind of gas to put in it, how often you should rotate the tires, and on and on and on. We got to look at our human bodies as the Rolls Royce of human development, that God gave us the best body for life that he could give, greater than the animals, greater than the birds, greater than the fish of the sea. So if we are better, those are not the things that will fuel this great divine human machine. Now, having said that, the Yehuda Nation, along with the Better World, if you send us emails requesting the process, what we call the transition diet, we will move you through it healthy, comfortably, and so that you will get the full effects, so you won't have to go on a crash diet. That's why I had Mark on for the detox. That's why I had Dr. Hapi on for the naturopath, chiropractic aspect. That's why I had Brian on for the chemical analysis of food as well as medicine. That's why I had Dr. Mason on for those who have chronic illnesses, the best way to begin to deal with that. Because there's no one-all situation for everybody. So when you begin to let us know what your particular problems are, we will direct you to the experts and the professionals who will give you their best spiritual as well as medical, not only suggestions, but from dealing with these issues for the last 50 years. So that's what we recommend. And send it to the Yehuda Nation so we can begin to process it.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Another question that I had, now for the ladies, for us ladies, because you guys dealt with a lot of issues as they pertain to men, but our issues for, as women are different. We deal with a lot of weight gain. We deal with a lot of bloating certain times of the month, or when we are going through life changes and things like that. You know, do you have the know-how and the knowledge to be able to help the women as it relates to the issues that we face?
Absolutely.
We do.
There can be no man without a woman. There can be no king without a queen. So not only did we worry about, that's why men die so soon, because they want to make sure that their woman is healthy and that we die and leave money and stuff to them so that they can survive without us. That's how much we care. And I'm only saying that lightly because, absolutely. But the reason that we took this approach first was the airline approach. When you get on the plane and they give you instructions and they say, in case of an emergency, who should you help first? Not your child, not the person next to you, but you, so that you can survive to help the wife, the children, and those who don't do it. You got to keep your man and your men alive so that we can look after you and protect you and help you. And we guarantee we're going to look out for you. So the answer to your question, we got gynecologists on duty. We got naturopaths on duty, dealing specifically with women issues and women problems. So absolutely. And that's why Dr. Hapi spoke about the elders as well, so that we can regenerate and get 10, 15, 20 more years of life when everybody say we were finished because black people didn't have proper medical care. And they was arguing about Obamacare so you could get health care. So all of these things we know about, and we know how to suggest and guide our people to getting the things that they need for a quality life. We're not just talking about being a vegan or a vegetarian. We're talking about getting your mind together so that you can receive those truths that are blowing in the wind. As Sam Cooke once said, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. And we're putting it out there over these airwaves.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, will you have, like, classes and things like that for individuals who may want to take classes, virtual classes online?
Absolutely.
That's
one of the things that I want the Yehuda Nation and the Better World to do together, because I want them to see the coalition that we've formed and how they can learn online and how they can participate. I'm getting ready to put together an online historical analysis, his online his spiritual understanding, so that the people will know that they don't have to leave their home to get the information that Better World, Yehuda Nation, is going to put out. So I'm going to get with you, and we're going to set up TV, radio like we're doing now, so that the blogs that the people want this information can be readily available.
Wonderful, wonderful. And also, I'm sure that there'll be some sort of a store where they can actually purchase, like, DVDs and booklets and things like this to give them information so that they'll have something to refer back to as well?
Absolutely. We're developing in the line of Bible studies, Quranic studies. We're getting ready to do health videos. We're getting ready to do Hebrew videos so they can learn Hebrew, the Arabic language, all of the things we're getting ready, because the Yehuda Nation and the Kingdom of God, the original African Hebrew Israelite Nation, our nations, we've been doing this, and we're getting ready to provide our people with those things that make you a whole people. This is not a religion. This is not a church. This is making people whole again. We're building a new world, a better world. We're back in the Genesis again. We're coming out of this confusion and darkness. Remember, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But then it went on to say, arise and shine, for thy light has come, thy understanding has come. This program and this coalition is to give understanding to those who are looking for it. Seek and ye shall find.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now one more thing, and I'm going to be quiet because I didn't get a chance to ask a whole lot of questions, but speaking to the group today, because you have a lot of people on here from various different organizations, speaking to them from the standpoint of the experience, the know-how, and all of the people and connections that you have made, what do you think some of the main things are that we need to focus on as a people? And how do you think that has helped you to develop the concept that you have about nation building?
Well, that's a great question. You see, one of the things I found out when I became conscious that I was a person who loved people was that I love people who were Muslims and Christians and Jews and Hebrews and agnostics. On and on. So what kind of world, because every world that I went into, you either had to be Chinese, you either had to be Japanese, you had to be Ghanaian, but if within all those societies you found people who were lights in those societies. So we moved from just being Israelites to universal lights, because God has scattered himself all over this planet, and you would find those people of goodwill wherever you went. Male, female, black, white, oriental. And so I began to understand of the family of Israel was described as a speckled bird. We came in all colors, shapes, and sizes. So about 20 years ago, I told everybody under my hearing to stop thinking black, meaning don't be so narrow to think that's the only color that has any significance or meaning. Because when you begin to look at the world is made up of all God's people. And he has demanded that we become a light to the world. And so as those lights, I'm saying we now will begin to communicate effectively. So we're asking people to send into Better World
/YehudaNation information on how they want to serve humanity so that we can begin to pull the people together to build a righteous community, ultimately a righteous nation, ultimately a better world, so that wherever you go on this planet, you'll be able to find peace, justice, truth, mercy, and love. So that's how we are moving with this, and that's the significance of what this program is really all about, and we intend to make it happen.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that is the questions that I have for now. Is there anyone else on the line that would like to ask a question? Please, if you would like, feel free to push one. We still have about 10 more minutes on the show. Prince Osiel, would you like to say anything else to your guests that have come on or if they would like to make some more comments?
I'd just like to have each one of my guests give a minute closing statement on what they want the people to do based on their area of expertise. Starting with you, Mark, what do you want the listeners to get from what you are doing health-wise? Go to you next, Dr. Hoppe. What do you want the people to get from you?
Well, what I want the people to get from me is that as we move through time, we have to make transitions. When we're younger, our bodies are more vital, and so then we can afford to be more liberal and more lenient in our intake of foods. But then as we move through time, in our progression of our education and our understanding, we have to become more disciplined in our intake. But more than that, we have to become more disciplined in how to keep increasing the energy in our bodies. And so with that, we have to look at the three corners of the pyramid. One is the mechanical, the type of exercise that we have to do as we gain the time of life that can regenerate us and increase our vitality. Two, the foods that we eat. And three, the generation of the electricity that we have to generate, which is in the breath. How do we breathe and how we have to be able to increase our knowledge of our breathing mechanism so that it can generate the energy to help break down the foods, to help strengthen our heart, to help strengthen our nervous system, and to help strengthen our skeleton muscular system so that our bodies can continue to get more healthier as we gain the time of life.
Thank you, Doctor.
So that we can live a longer, healthier life than what they proclaim that we should be living.
Bryant, give us what you want the people to come away with from your expert service to your people.
Yes, sir. So, you know, in my research, I research a lot of compounds that have antioxidant properties, but not only do they have antioxidant properties, they have a bunch of other properties as well, like anti-inflammatory and other properties. So I would encourage people to increase the amount or watch the amount of antioxidants that they're currently taking in their diet, and if they find that that's not enough, really increase that. So you can get some of these antioxidants from berries. You can get them from nuts and seeds, and you can also get them, as we discussed earlier, from the leafy greens. And even in peppers. I gave a talk today where we talked extensively about peppers earlier, and we talked about capsaicin and vitamin C and some of the different chemicals that are beneficial in peppers. And so you can get these things in a variety of foods, but really look at that. And also think about how you're getting your vitamin D. Are you spending enough time in the sun? And also you can get vitamin D from mushrooms, and that's where I end up getting a lot of my vitamin D from, because if you sit mushrooms out in the sun, they can produce vitamin D similar to your vitamin D, and it's been clinically shown to increase the vitamin D in your blood. You really got to watch that one. You really got to watch that one, because what we're finding out about vitamin D and heart disease and cancer is really astonishing. So think about that and take that into your diet. Implement that into your diet. That would be my final words.
Prince Elram, any closing remarks?
Yes, sir. I would encourage everybody in the listening audience to stay tuned in and to stay close to the YehudaNation Network, because this is not a one or two episode situation where you gain understanding and then that's it. This is a lifelong pursuit. We need to understand our relationship to the total environment and how we affect it and how it affects us. Everything that we're talking about as a result of the environment and the interaction or the violation of the environment and thus its consequences to us. So stay tuned in. Bring questions that lead the direction, lead the conversation in an upward direction so that we can all grow simultaneously and we can reestablish our relationship with God through the creation in which he placed us.
Prince Amiel.
I don't think he's on. I think his call dropped. Let me make sure that he has it so I can make sure his line is open. I think his line is open. He may not be on the air right now. Let me make sure. Prince Asiel, are you there?
He may not answer if you call him by my name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Prince Amiel, I'm so sorry. Prince Amiel, are you there?
What I'd like to say, first of all, is thank you to the listening audience, and most of all, thank you to the guests that came in to share their insight and life's work for the commitment to the holistic reestablishment of us as a people. I want to thank particularly the Yehuda Nation and you, Yanina, for extending your love, your warmth, your dedication, and your resources to provide us for another vehicle to communicate to the people. And I'm eternally thankful and grateful to you and the sisters and brothers who are part of this great movement that God gave you to build. And I look forward to being side by side, shoulder to shoulder with you every step of the way as we proceed on. I want to thank our brothers in Israel for being the light there, Minister Yedidiel and Nasik Ishaya, so that the light of understanding continues to come forth from Yerushalayim, from the Holy Land. And we're building a better world for our people. And we're proud of it, and we're committed to it, and won't rest until we make it happen. So I just want to say next week we're going to have another great show, another great understanding. I want to remind the listening audience that Yehuda Nation is on Sundays at 5:30. So, I mean, we're going to put out information that will enhance your understanding of life on this planet for the 21st century. Love and blessings.
Yeah.
Eternal thanks to those who know the work that we put in and we will continue to put it in. And I thank
all
you,
right.
My sister.
I thank you, too, for being a part of us, and we look forward to the work that you're doing. We'll talk, but I want to be able to put together a program where if some of us want to actually have one-on-one consultation with weight loss and people can actually watch it happen and we can actually let them watch it happen, I think that'll be monumental to be able to sell this because we are really tore up here in America and the GMO foods that they've been feeding us, the grocery stores, the 10 for 10, and all of the things that we buy because it's cheap. It's killing us, and we have to change the way we eat. We're going to have to do this. This is something that we have no choice. So, again, in the meantime, for you all that are interested in receiving the information, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, project at gmail.com, and we will send your information to Prince Yasiel and his group. So that they can contact you at their earliest convenience. And if there's nothing else, don't forget, we'll be back here Sunday at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, and we will look forward to talking to you all, same time, same place. Thank you to all of the guests from Members of a Better World, Prince Asiel, Prince Amiel, Prince Elron, and all of the guests. Thank you so much, and we'll say shalom, shalom to everyone, and good night.
And listen to Under Israel Skies as we close out.
Yes, sir. One moment, please. Where is it? Oh, shoot.
Thank you. That's good enough. Come on.
We'll take your singing.
Yeah, come on with that.
I didn't know you were listening. Oh,
oh, we always listen. We paying attention.
Bye.
right, all right. This is the conclusion of Members of a Better World. Prince Asiel, are you still there with us?
I ain't gonna never
he may
leave
have
you.
Gone on for the evening.
I'm
Prince
not
Daniel,
gonna ever
are you
leave
there?
You. I'm gonna always be there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Would you like to make the final remarks and say goodbye?
Yes, I would. I want to say to all of our people, wherever they may be, our motto is that we serve God's people every day. And if there's anything that you don't understand about what we say or do, please send us an email to let us know so that you can help us do and build a better world. Shalom uvaraka. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Good night.
Shalom. Good night. Peace and